Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 465 of The Mail Right Show. We are super excited after a long hiatus with guests that we have a guest on the show today. The amazing, esteemed Dave Kimbrough is with us this afternoon. And of course, I have my old pugilistic English partner that is that I've had for a long time, Jonathan Dinwood.
What's that word you use?
I've used it with you before, and you always push back. Pugilistic.
What the hell does that mean?
It means you're a fighter, dude.
Oh, pugilistic. Oh, no. Yeah. There you go. Right. I looked that one up. Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome. And Dave, that's a true fact. Back in his youth, Jonathan used to box.
I did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. How'd you guys meet?
We met because he had a previous podcasting partner that that was doing the show. That partner found me and asked John if it would be okay if he brought me on as a guest. John said yes. That other guy was already kind of swan-songing his way out of the podcast. And John asked me if I wanted to do it. And I said, sure. That was like, I thought it would be a lark. And that was 3 years ago and something ridiculous. It may have been longer. So we've done like 200 shows together. Like we're approaching that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
So Dave, actually, before we get any started, I'm going to let John go first and then I'm going to circle back around to you. But John, why don't you just real quickly give people an overview of who you are from your own words without just my little pugilistic intro there.
Right, thanks, Rob. I'm the joint founder of mail-right.com. We are a CRM and marketing platform for real estate agents. And we've just done an extensive upgrade to all our systems. And it's much improved what we offer. Just go to the MailRight website and find some more. And we've also got a new pricing structure. And I think you'd be amazed at the value that we're offering. Back over to you, Rob.
Beautiful. And for those of you who are catching the show for the first time via video, John has also done something different with his hair today. So if any of you should care to look at our old episodes, you'll see that he's either coiffed or uncoiffed. I don't know which. All right. So now on to our special guest, Dave. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to both me and the audience about who you are.
Yeah. My name is Dave Kimbrough. I'm a RE/MAX agent team leader. In Grand Junction, Colorado, where those of you don't know where Grand Junction is, it's about 4 hours due west of Denver. We're located about 20 miles off of the Utah border, kind of 4 hours from Denver, 5 hours from Salt Lake City.
Cool.
Yeah.
And for those of you who may or may not know me, my name is Robert Newman. I'm the founder of Inbound REM, or Inbound Real Estate Marketing, and I am probably most likely the most experienced online marketing consultant and the most experienced real estate SEO guy that exists in the United States anymore. So without any further ado, let's jump into the conversation, which before you gave us a brief detail, I'd like to know the who, what, when, where, why of your real estate trajectory. Like how long have you been doing it? What made you be a team member? We both know managing people gets harder and harder. So just give us like a 5-minute summary of who you are and why you do what you do.
So can do. I got into real estate back in 2002. In 1999, my first wife was diagnosed with brain cancer. And unfortunately, she passed away in 2001. At the time, I was working in pharmaceutical sales, had a completely different career, had many different careers at that point. I just needed a new gig, right? I needed a new start, right? Life had dealt me quite a hand of cards, and I just needed to try something different. So the guy I hired to sell my house, I was going to move back to Atlanta. And because we're from the South, right? I went to University of Alabama. My parents are from Birmingham and Gadsden, Alabama. So I was out here living in the West, and we're Southern people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to move back to Atlanta.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm sorry from all of us. But go ahead.
So, don't hold it. So I was going to move back to Atlanta to go to work for another pharmaceutical industry or another company, a biotech company, as a district manager. The guy who I hired to sell my house was a longtime family friend. And he said, hey, I think you could do great at real estate. He's like, you should give it a try. And I thought, well, that might be one of the dumbest things anybody's ever told me. Mm-hmm. Because I've got a great career, right? I mean, I had a really strong career in the pharmaceutical industry and I enjoyed it. I was good at it. But thought about it and prayed about it and got peaceful about it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give it a whirl, right? So he took me under his wing and that's kind of how I got started in the business. It was not by intent. I thought I would get into the real estate business and, you know, drop my handicap from a 7 to a 3 and sell a dozen houses a year. And that's just not exactly the way it's played itself out. But that's kind of why we do it, right? You never know what you're going to get. So that's how I got started in real estate, fairly serendipitous the way it began.
Beautiful. I want to ask a very brief follow-up question, which John did not include on his list, but it's an easy question, I promise. Okay. Why did you agree to come on the podcast?
So we have, like I said, been in the business for 23 years, and we have just finished in the last couple of months a new coaching program called Expectation Selling. Mm-hmm. And so we've just launched that here in the past month, and so we're doing the we're thankful to have some invites to do some podcasts based on the Expectation Selling platform. And so that's why I agreed to do it. I've never done podcasts before. You guys are like my third podcast ever. So I appreciate it. I'm almost a podcast virgin.
Well, I don't know about John, but I'm always happy to take a cherry or two. No, yeah, I just
appreciate right. that.
That's yeah. terrible. That was You're terrible. Gonna, I know.
Yeah,
terrible.
That was like a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Well, Jay, thank you for the incredible introduction, by the way. I know that I appreciate it. I'm sure the audience appreciated it. Once again, John, I'm going to take this next question and I'm going to change it slightly. John asked the question and we wrote down for you in the show notes. We wanted to know what the biggest challenge had been for you in 12 months. But now that I know that you have a 22-year history in real estate, and this is not the most challenging real estate market, if you've been in it that long, that you've ever seen, I want to change the question slightly and say, what is the biggest challenge you have ever faced in your real estate career, as far as the market is concerned? Not like a personal challenge, and I'm very sorry to hear about your first wife, by the way, but not a personal challenge, but like a professional challenge related to the industry, the circumstances surrounding it.
2009, 10, 11. That's an easy answer.
Okay.
For us, it was where we sit, you know, I think the rest of the Great Depression, whatever they called it back then, right? 2007, a lot of the nation was having a really tough time. Real estate markets cratered, housing prices cratered, all that stuff. Well, in 2007, 2008, we were still setting records because we were about 30, 40 miles north of where we live is kind of a huge natural gas reserve, okay? Mm-hmm. So we had a huge energy boom happening here. So we would go to seminars and we'd go to coaching and all these other things and everybody'd be like, oh my God, we're getting killed, right? We're like, uh-huh. I don't know what you guys talk about. We're killing it, right? and lo and behold, we were 2 years behind everybody else. 2009, this thing completely flipped and we were losing 1% to 1.5% a month. Buyers and sellers. We lost tons of traditional sellers and we ended up with a ton of have-to sellers, right? Distressed. And we lost your traditional buyer, most of them, a lot of them, and replaced those buyers with distressed buyers, people who are buying distressed properties, flipping them, fixing them, doing whatever, right? That was a very, very difficult market for us. It was a lot of foreclosures. We made the intentional decision not to seek or chase foreclosures or a short sale business. Didn't mean we didn't do them. That just wasn't the lion's share of what we did. We decided to stay the course, do traditional real estate. If you chose to stay the course and do traditional real estate back in our market in those times, you were choosing the most difficult path possible.
John, that begs a follow-up question, but you should ask it.
No, I think I'll go on to the next one, actually.
This is what he's like. This is what he's like, Dave.
Well, if you want to do a final three question yourself, Rob, go.
Yes. Why, in the good Lord's name, why would you choose the hardest road?
Because it's what we knew, right? Just being honest with you, it's what we knew. We knew how to do it. We were good at it. We were number one in the marketplace at the time. And it was going to have to be a complete revamping of our business and everything we did to take on distressed sellers. And, you know, it's just, you know, we just both, my sister works with me on our team. And at the time, it was just the two of us and one assistant. I think there might have been one more buyer's agent we had. And we just decided we were just going to stay the course and do exactly what we did. Was it a good decision? I don't know, right? I don't know whether it's a good decision or not. I know it was a hell of a hard time, you know, but we also survived it. We got better. We got stronger. We made our systems tighter. Everything we did when we came out in 2012 was infinitely better because we didn't just, you know, we didn't just tread water. We spent those 3 years of getting our ass kicked, but also making our business better. So we came out the other side when we poured money into advertising. We poured money into everything when everybody else was pulling it back. So did I make much money? No, I did not during those years. That's for sure. But did we set the groundwork to come out of that thing like a bullet? We did, right? So but it was a really hard time.
I've given this advice to so many entrepreneurs and business owners. It's ridiculous. But Dave, I'm super glad that you said it on your own. When everybody else runs for the hills, you've got a lot of tough decisions. You can pull up stakes or you can invest thinking, knowing you'll come out the other side with more momentum than anybody can catch. And it sounds like that's what happened for you.
That has been our motto. Whenever anything has gotten tough, it's pedal to the metal, right? I mean, it's the old stock adage is you buy when people are selling, you sell when they're buying, right? For us, when people are put, like you said, when they're pulling back, we're pushing forward. And it's just harder, stronger, faster. That was our take. And, you know, it was our mantra at the time. And that's what we did for 3 years. But let me tell you, bro, it was hard.
Believe me, we're going through a bit of hard on the marketing side right now ourselves. But before we digress, John, finally, you can ask the next question.
Thank you so much. So Dave, you know, apart from, you know, recommendations from your previous clients, I'm sure you get a ton of recommendations and repeat customers.
We can always hear more.
Yeah. Apart from that, what are some of the other biggest and most successful lead generation methodologies that you and your team uses to attract people to your brokerage?
Well, I mean, nowadays, now or earlier in my career?
Let's say in the last year, 18 months, what are been some of the methodologies that you feel have worked for you and your team?
So there's no question. I mean, the biggest things for us is new construction. We do a lot of new construction. We work very diligently on with our builders on our development side, new construction. So that's a huge one for us. We probably sell more new construction homes in our market than anybody does. You know, our leads come in largely website leads for new buyer leads that aren't referral based. And a lot of those come from new construction because we have a lot of it, and also residential resale. I mean, between new construction and residential resale, we'll sell somewhere between, you know, 125 and 180 houses a year, between those two, with a pretty even split between, probably a little bit more resale than new construction, but it's still a large portion of new construction. And also too, we do a lot of radio. I know a lot of people think, hey, radio sucks and whatnot, but you know, it in our market, again, when you realize we're 4 hours from Denver, we're 5 hours from Salt Lake City. We literally, if you look at a map, we're about one of the most isolated towns of 150,000 people you're going to find in this country. So in radio really works here. Yes, people do podcasts. Yes, it's a splintered and fragmented world. all of these things are so true, but terrestrial radio still does work very well for us, especially AM radio, talk radio. It's a captive audience. They're, you know, my background was in radio. I was a disc jockey back in the early 90s. We found radio to be, you know, a very positive thing as well.
I'm not surprised, actually, when I was watching a couple of your early Virgin interviews, I sensed that you had some professional training because you're quite a good communicator, Dave.
Well, I don't know about the professional part of it, John. You're being very kind. But...
No, but you understand what I mean. Some people, it is difficult to talk. We on a podcast, some people get very nervous, but you seem to be able to get your points across without the nerves affecting you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think part of that, again, that's very kind and I appreciate that. I think part of it is because I spent a portion of my life behind the microphone, you know, in radio, but also even here when I talk about radio, we did a radio talk show. I did a talk show for, oh my gosh, like 13 years. On Saturday mornings. That was a really robust thing for me. And I also do newspaper ads and articles. I do a lot of writing. So we just do a lot of diverse things that we find really worked for us and we really like. And it leads to, our focus is always about quality over quantity, right? I'll happily pay more for a quality lead than less for a whole bunch of quantity, right? So we've always been very focused on what's the quality of our lead.
All right. So on to go for our break, Rob.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast and any of the many places that we post this podcast. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, forgive us. We're sorry. We're easier to listen to than look at. But other than that, we really appreciate you all. Most of our audience, Dave, are actually other realtors like you. I'm sure that, like me, they appreciate a good story that relates to real estate. And I think that our audience is going to love the fact that you kind of happened into real estate because about 80% of the people I talk to say the same thing. So with no further ado, give us a thumbs up. Give us a like wherever you're seeing or listening to us. And we'll be right back. We're going to ask Dave three more questions, and I'll try really hard to vaguely stick to the format that we handed him before the show. Stay tuned.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is episode number 465. I should know that. I just said it a few minutes ago. I had already forgotten. Welcome to the land of ADHD. We're here with Dave Kimbrough and Jonathan Dinwood. We're super excited to have John co-host the show with me and Dave be on the show. We have now discovered that he is a radio personality, so he should actually be putting John and I to shame.
No, he's putting one of us to shame. I assume.
All right. So, John and I focus a lot on the show, and we each have companies that we end up having a lot of discussions with people about lead generation, specifically real estate agents, realtors, brokers, mortgage brokers, like if anything in the real estate vertical. And I've been doing it for 16 years, and John's been doing it for like 8 now. And so we've got this conversation always happens. Always, every single person. I would love it if you would share with the audience some of your specifically marketing challenges and failures, things that you've learned from. We all know that failures is just a way to learn and grow and get better, and I understand that. But at the same time, there has to be things on the road that you tried that you just like didn't work for you.
Yeah, I just want to cut in, you know, maybe a couple of things that you were sold, you know, that looked... you thought they're going to really work and somebody sold you a plan, a platform, and the reality, it didn't pan out, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, where do I start? I mean, how long? You know, and that's not a joke, right? I mean,
no.
it's the gospel. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me over the years is I have found real estate in particular, right? But not just real estate, the world in particular. It has a way of sucking you in, right? And mesmerizing you with the sexy lure of more, right? More. You got to have more. As real estate agents, I mean, every single day, John, don't fall asleep there, buddy.
I'm not listening to you, Dave.
Oh, I'm just giving you a hard time. We get sucked in, right? Every day on my email. I mean, I don't know how many emails a day I get. Somebody selling me something, somebody calling me, getting texts on my phone. I mean, all they're trying to do is suck me in to buy something, follow the money. Everything is about selling you something as a real estate agent. And you're constantly have this feel, at least I did, right? I mean, maybe I'm the only guy in the world who ever did, but it was always like, I need more. I need more buyers. I need more sellers. I need more this. I need more that, and I'll pay for it, right? I make good money. It's just one check away, right? Hey, Dave, it's only $1,800 a month. If you close two deals in your market, an average market of $500,000, that's $30,000. You're going to make $12,000. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All done it. And you can justify it right into the poorhouse, right? And it has happened to me. So what? My biggest failure is that, right? My biggest failure is.
Yeah, but don't name names, Dave, because we don't want to be sued. But give us a couple.
You can't get sued if he has an opinion about a company he did business with, John.
I've got enough letters.
You're just tired of the angry letters I generate for you.
Yes, that's all right.
You know, all right, well, let's hear these opinions, Dave. I think these guys are second rate, and then he gets the emails.
I get the heat, Dave. I get the heat, Dave. That's what I get. So, Dave, there must be a couple that have stuck in your memory.
I'm going to
go ahead
and name them.
If you don't mind sharing one or two, that sounded really good, but it didn't pan out, though.
Oh my gosh! I mean, I've done things with a company called Lion Desk. You guys ever heard of that?
Oh yeah.
Thought it was going to be the greatest thing ever. I tell you what. Here's the other thing about that. Sorry, I just have to do a qualifier with this, right? When you're in the market,
these are Dave's opinions, I want to point out.
Yeah, and it just didn't work, because what happens is a lot of times these things are built and can be very successful in big markets, right? When you're in a market of 3 million people, right, and people are calling you unsolicited, right, I mean, on stuff, they don't know who it is or may not know who you are or whatever. When you're in a town of 150,000, it's 150,000, but it's still a very small town. People know everybody who works for me. I would get calls from people say, hey, who's Julia, right? She doesn't work for you. I'm like, no, she doesn't, right? I mean, so there was that. I mean, any online lead deal, I mean, you know, where you're...
So what was the specifics of what happened with Lion Desk that didn't work for you?
Yeah, it didn't work because it was a really hard bridge to gap in a market my size where people were cold calling or calling database or calling people on your behalf. And the people knew it wasn't you, right? They knew that Julia didn't work for me, right? Because they were calling. A lot of people know who works for us. There are pictures in the newspaper, pictures on both billboards, our pictures everywhere. They know, a lot of them knew that Julia wasn't there. So it's really hard to outsource that stuff in a lot of instances, because if they run across anybody who knows anything about our team, it's a really difficult thing in a smaller market. So some of these things, where if it's a bigger market where there's a lot more anonymity, you know, we're a pretty high profile team here in our marketplace, so it's a lot harder to slide that stuff under the door, just to be frank. And so it just
just a quick one of three reasons. Was it really the fit between you and Lion Desk? Was it more that they didn't really understand? Do you feel it was understandable misalignment because you're too small, a too niche market, or do you think you've brought them up, so it must have left a bad taste in your mouth? So do you feel that they were aware that it probably wasn't going to work in your particular market?
Yeah, it didn't really leave a bad taste in my mouth, right? I mean, it doesn't. What works for me may not work for somebody else. What works for somebody else may not work for me. I have the extensive knowledge of my marketplace, being here for 22 years and being the top agent and team in this market for a really long time. We understand the dynamics of our market. If you come from outside of our market, it's really difficult to understand what those dynamics are. And so it's a niche market, like you said. And so it's not a bad taste. It's just like, it was an epic failure, because I got a lot of people who called and texted, stop it, knock it off, stop texting me. Why are you texting me? And I'm the easiest guy in this town to get a hold of. You want my phone number, it's not hard to find, right? So when people are texting people unsolicited, and they're not expecting to get something from me, all they got to do is, hey, this is Dave Kimberly, what about blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, dude, stop it, right? Knock it off. Why are you texting me? What's the problem here? I thought you were a market leader. I'm like, holy crap, dude. Just stop. It's okay. Let's dial this thing back. So I don't think it was necessarily, hey, this doesn't work. It's just when you're in a smaller town, people are less receptive to that kind of stuff. There's a reason why you live 4 hours from Denver and 5 hours from Salt Lake.
The tool was a bad fit.
Bad fit. Yeah. It's not a bad, I don't think it's a bad product. I can't say, because I talked to other agents who did it before me and they're like, yeah, this thing works, right? This works great for us. So it's just a bad fit for my marketplace, right? It just didn't fit for our team or what I was looking for at the time. It didn't fit.
We could have a whole episode, and you know, honestly, Dave, the kind of details that most other real estate people want from us is that's why John just drilled in so deeply, is that we get calls, both of us do, from team leaders, brokers, owners, you name it, and generally speaking, their biggest frustration is similar to something that you've just vocalized, where they've already spent tons of time, energy, and money on a tool, right? And it failed because they weren't able to get a good enough view of the tool before they actually purchased it. And by the time you're in it, you're in it. And so they, you know, the frustration is no, but seriously, will it really work? Like, and they wanted it. Now we get a lot more people spending a lot more time researching, which there's been no other iteration of the real estate market where that's ever been the case. Real estate agents love to buy the newest, shiniest thing, which you kind of pointed out. but you get burned a couple times, and I think that changes. Or at least it does for some people. All right, but let's move on before we run out of time here. Sure. Do you use any AI tools? And if you do, what AI tools are you using in your business currently?
I mean, we're pretty limited, honestly, on AI tools. I mean, we're looking at doing some website stuff with changing up our website to where they use a more AI-generated chatbot type scenario, right? Much more authentic seeming interface for the client. I mean, I've read a lot of stuff about really exciting stuff that seems to be coming that we haven't seen. I mean, I know there's disruption happening that I don't see. I know there's disruption going to happen. But at this juncture, you know, we use it for the same stuff. We use it for, you know, asking for coming up with marketing plans for Instagram, videos that are current and things that we can do to make it, you know, yeah, simple stuff like that. But nothing, you know, I've heard and read about things that are just mind-blowing and amazing. If they ever show up, we'll be the first ones to jump on board if we can. But, you know, I think most of it for me, it seems to be more conceptual than it does in actual practice. So we don't, you know, a lot of people on our market, they use it for copywriting. We use it for copywriting too on stuff when we need to pound stuff out pretty quick. They use it for product, you know, property descriptions, graphic generators. You know, we use some of that stuff as well, but there's nothing that I would say, oh my gosh, look what AI is making a huge impact on our business yet. It's not.
I have a follow-up question. It's personal, wasn't on the list.
Okay, great.
A vendor that I do business with, a lot of business, is getting ready to introduce a room, it's like a dream room concept, but this is already out there, but it's not really out there with IDX yet, which is where you get to take a listing and redecorate the room inside the actual search functionality itself, like actually within an IDX. It's brand new. I haven't seen it, so I'm not asking any questions about performance. I'm asking you the thought, like, what's your thought about a tool that could do that? Do you think people would use it?
I think they would. I think if they would, it would be impactful, because I've always been one of those, the longer I can keep them on a page, the longer I can keep them interacting on a site, the better my chances are of making contact with them and them being quality, right? So everything we do from picture arrangement, write up, whatever it may be, is can we keep them there as long as humanly possible on each and every property that we have? Because the longer we can keep them, the higher the likelihood is they'll contact us or see us as a valuable resource.
Couldn't agree more. All right, number six.
Well, but can I ask that question?
All right, H.G. Wells, go for it.
So, Dave, if you had your own time machine and you could go back in time and maybe mentor yourself for 10 minutes at the start of your real estate career, what would you tell yourself? What little tip, what little bit of advice would you tell yourself at the beginning of your journey in real estate, Dave?
I mean, it's going to sound super cliche and super stupid, but I don't think I'd give myself any advice that I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't trade the journey that I've had. My career has been far greater and far better than anything I ever dreamed it could be, with the ups and the downs and the this and the that, and every bit of learning. I know we talked a little bit about it earlier. Every bit of learning we've done from bad mistakes or things we've done, we should have done differently or whatever, we have learned from that. We are learners. We are not, you know, fool me once, fool me twice, that's it, right? I mean, we're going to fix it. And so I think that the journey that we've been on as a team and I've been on as a singular agent, team lead or whatever, I wouldn't trade any of it. And I wouldn't want some advice to cloud the judgment I came in with, because, you know, certainly if there's anything, I would have maybe said, well, I mean, no, there isn't. I mean, I look back on it. I don't have any regrets. I got no regrets, and I got nothing on here that I would redo. Okay, one thing, billboards. I would not run billboards. I have pissed away more money on billboards trying to get billboards to work for me, and I just am done. I'm done with that. I wish somebody saved me a couple hundred grand over 23 years by telling me, Dave, don't ever do billboards.
So one other thing. So you mentioned about it, and you've been a fabulous guest, Dave. I've really enjoyed the interview, and you must come back. I've really enjoyed this discussion. So you mentioned this course that you've developed. Can you give us a quick outline what that's about?
Yeah, quick outline is it's a complete mind shift. It's a complete mind shift. We've taken 23 years of experience. So myself and my sister and my partner, her name's Jan, and my partner Mason, have created this expectation selling. One of the biggest myths in real estate is that you can't have massive production and work-life balance, right? You can't have life balance and do massive volume, right? That's not true. It's absolutely not true. So what we've done is put together a course to help agents get their time back in their day and get their focus, get their work done efficiently, and get more balance in their life by systemizing everything they do. And I mean, it's a crazy process for those who are willing to go through it and implement the system. Because I'm here to tell you, you know, 2 years ago, I sold 159 listings with one assistant, right? I still coach football. I still eat dinner at home every night. My wife still loves me, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure she does that.
I mean, I'm sure she does. But the whole gist around this thing is if we can find a way to give back what we've been able to learn over the last 23 years and the systems we've got in order to churn the kind of volume we do, with still having work-life balance and my kids love me and my wife loves me and I spend time with friends and all that stuff, it's the number one thing that happens to real estate agents. We're addicted to a hustle culture, and you don't have to be addicted to the hustle culture.
So where can I get this course, Dave?
So you can go to www.expectationselling.com, or you can follow us on any of the social media outlets at expectationselling.com.
I will make sure that the links are in the show notes, which you can find on the MailRight website. Back over to you, Rob.
Well, we're going to wrap up the show. I'm going to second what John has said. Dave, you've been a lot of fun. I hope you keep podcasting. You've got a talent for it. You've got a knack for it. But I suspect you probably have talent and knacks for everything else. If you haven't already looked into it deeply, I strongly suggest that you look into both local and video, because you are built for it. You would be wildly successful.
Oh, you're very so, good. I just don't have a face for video, bro.
You do, actually.
It could be worse, Dave. You could have my face. Okay.
Good point.
I wasn't going to say it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. No, in all seriousness, middle-aged white men do fine on video. Just trust me on that. All right. So, all right. Without any further ado, though, if somebody wanted to reach out to you personally, Gave Expectation Selling, we really appreciate it. I hope that some people check it out. I strongly recommend that they do. If there's any one thing I love about inbound marketing, it's the same conversation you're trying to have, which is get back your time while still doing huge business. So how would somebody reach out to you, assuming you even want them to? How would they do it?
I do. I'm open to it. Anybody can contact me anytime. So it's Dave. At expectationselling.com. That's my email. Just drop me an email. I live on it. So it's, it doesn't go off my email inbox until it's done. So I'm happy to chat and talk to whoever.
If anybody would like to check out the new, upgraded, incredibly fancy, snazzy system that Jonathan is working
on. Well, it's a lot better. It's massively improved, actually.
Because we've just gone through hammering all the real estate marketing companies, but no, seriously, we've got something you should look at. But anyway, Jonathan,
our system starts at $49 a month, so it won't bankrupt you. So basically, go to the mail-right.com website and book a call with me, and I will personally, or a member of my team will personally show you the MailRight system. And like I say, it starts at $49 a month. So go and have a look, folks.
Beautiful. Well, that's a big reduction. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody has enjoyed the hustle that I have displayed on this podcast, you can find me at inboundrem.com. You can go to my about or services page, either or, and book a call with me directly if you would like, or you can learn everything you'd ever want to know about real estate marketing on my website. Detailed guides, PDFs, graphs, charts, videos, you name it, it's all there. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Once again, Dave, we really appreciate you coming on the show. It's been magnificent and a lot of fun.
Loved it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Take us off.
Bye.